The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Let's begin the Thursday thing. Gary, how are you?
I'm not done yet doing show prep yet. I'm inside of my own head doing my own pre-show meeting here and reading this article here. This headline, Barack Obama releases list of Democratic midterm endorsements and Ocasio-Cortez is not on it. Why, the question asks. Well, that's easy. Jealousy. All right. Also on the show coming up today.
He's jealous.
Sorry, dude. We are so over you. You know, we
have a new deity.
Yes. You can move on. You're just a regular person now. You're no longer a deity.
Right. You're no longer above us.
We're not even sure if you're a U.S. citizen.
You're not even...
We don't know that you were even born here. That's from the left. They become birthers. Can you imagine that? Were you really born in Hawaii? Really? We want to see a birth certificate.
I still keep thinking, when you and I still, and it was, would have been 2009, D-Day. Mm. Remember Evan Thomas, right? Was Evan Thomas? Newsweek at the time, I don't know where he is now, on with Chris Matthews, and said that Obama is above us. He's godlike.
Yes, he hovers.
He hovers above us.
Can you imagine saying that, I mean, without being really drunk?
Trump is godlike.
Yes.
Could you imagine something?
He hovers.
Could you... He hovers over the right. You know, that's how, again, and we mocked it, of course, at the time. But the humor is when you apply that same mentality mm-hmm. to, you know, to anybody from the Republican side. And of course, we burst out laughing because you're never going to hear any reporter saying that. Nobody would ever in their right minds call somebody, a politician especially, godlike. But that was the Obama delusion syndrome. But it was the other side. He's godlike. He hovers over us. It's like he's hovering over us.
And you know, it's one thing to be on board and, you know, all right, go Obama. Yay, we support you. And, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I don't get that enthusiastic about politicians, but you know, if you do that's fine. Yeah. But when you start talking that way of he hovers above us like a god. you're drunk and you need to go home, frankly. It's just weird. But then, you know, but that wasn't all. It wasn't just him. You know, we played part of it the other day, the Obama chant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the produced by Will I Am and all of these celebrities. And it's like, what are you guys doing? Seriously. If you want to make a video, here's why I support the guy. Now, Opie did. He went on for 10 minutes. But never, not once did he talk about the qualifications.
Right.
He went on for 10 minutes about the color of his skin. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, wow, I would find that condescending if I were the person that he were referring to.
Right. We are referring to anybody who was under the age of 60.
70. Ooh,
70.
78.
Ron Howard. Mm-hmm. The actor, the director now.
Yeah, because there's a radio personality named Opie. I should be careful, right? Yeah. It's the original Opie. The O-O. And then, you know, I'm sorry, could you list some qualifications of the actual individual?
Wait a minute. I can, you know, well, she can't run in 2020.
Who?
Darn it.
Oh, no, no,
Ocasio
no, no, no.
Cortez.
No, no.
Because could you imagine if she could run in 2020? She can't even run in 2024. But if she could run in 2020. Well, could she run in 2024? Would she be right at that age? Would she just be?
Would she make 35 by the time she was sworn in?
Make it, yeah, so she might be able to run in 2024. And Hillary, by
oh,
that,
good, there's hope.
Hillary in that time. Well, no, but what I wanted to see is what I in my mind, what
right,
popped into my mind, then I realized it's not possible, would be 2020 Hillary runs, and it's my time. And Ocasio-Cortez, no. It's my time.
Yeah, move over.
move
it's
over.
My time. It's
You've
not
had
your time anymore.
Your time.
It was so your time
your,
so long ago.
Your time has come and gone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. We don't want you anymore.
I thought some of the most fun that we had on the show was the Democrat primary back in 2007, 2008. To me, that was the most fun. Because you and I sat here in complete disbelief. And we had remember the tons of calls that we had from Democrats?
Yeah.
And it was night where we said, okay, who would you rather have, President Obama or Hillary Clinton? And the phones just lit up. We lit up some people, neither. And I go, no, this is just for Democrats only, just for Democrats only. And so we went to Democrats. And would I be wrong in saying roughly if you took about 90-95% of the calls that it was, I want Obama because we need the first black president. I want Hillary because we need the first female president. It basically broke down to imagery of sex or color of skin. It was either nationality, color of skin, or sexuality/gender. We were just blown away that night. I'll never forget that. We're like, wow.
Yeah.
We live in a different world because our world is, where do you stand on the issues? What do you believe in?
What do you want to do if you're elected?
Yeah, that's a simple thing. That sort of separates, and that still today sort of separates us from the vast majority, I believe, of liberals out there, which is, what do you want to do?
What are you going to get done? Because, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about the big bad, right? So each side has one. You know, the left right now, the big bad is who? Donald Trump. The big bad, Obama, for the conservatives and the rest of the world. The thing is that when you, okay, let's get this person, let's say this person is no longer in office. What do you guys want to do? And this is the question we've asked the left. What do you want to do? What is it you're promoting? What is it you want to get done? Sorry, Bernie, the whole Medicare for all, that's not going to happen.
But
we're having trouble with Medicare for some.
But at least it's an issue.
At least it's not identity politics.
Right. At least it's an issue.
Yes. It's a hallucination. It's no longer a fantasy. It's more of a hallucination. It's a hallucination. It's not going to happen, but it's not the identity politics, except for the fact that who's he have standing right beside him? The new Obama.
Right.
And that's where it's going to, and I, the passing of the socialist baton off to her, and that's how that's going to, you know, play out. And then they'll bring together his crazy, impossible ideas, her lack of knowledge on pretty much everything, and then throw in the identity politics and start screaming protest chants. That's basically the future of the party. If they're to go down that road and she's the new star, if they make that decision as a party, that's basically it.
Well, when I saw that headline, it says Barack Obama releases a list of Democratic midterm endorsements and Ocasio-Cortez is not on it. And I started thinking, okay, what would be the reasons? And there were two reasons that hit me. The first one was jealousy. That's the first thing that went through my mind. Jealousy. who are you? We don't care. Wait a minute. Who are you? Bill Clinton? Oh, Obama? Now we've put you into the Bill Clinton category. We've forgotten about you. You're yesterday's news. We have the new Obama, Ocasio-Cortez. Or is it the fact that he realizes that she will harm the Democrat movement? That has Obama realized for the cocktail socialist that he was, you know, he will still go at times, you know, with the wind. He'll drift back and forth, depending, I believe, on what will keep him in power. You remember that you think about it. He was really one of the last candidates for president on the Democrat side, because Bernie Sanders came out almost, you know, full socialist back then, and Hillary sort of had to, you know, tack to the left also. Obama was really the last Democrat from the Democrats in the 80s, the 90s, especially somebody like Bill Clinton, who was always trying to pretend. Well, again, Clinton, as I've said, Obama to a lesser extent, but I believe Clinton really has no political ideology. I've always thought that Bill Clinton is just what will get me reelected. I don't care what it is. I'll just follow what the polls are. Get me reelected. What do they say they want? Give it to them and get elected. As, you know, for being a leader, no, I wish to have the power and be reelected again. I want to be president of the United States, and I've always thought that's what drove Bill Clinton. I did think that early on, I always thought that Hillary was the driver of the ideology of what she believed in, which was much more socialism, that she was actually ideologically driven. I think back then, I don't believe she has been as ideologically driven over, you know, like in the last campaign, as she was back in the 90s and even the early part of this new century. But I really think that now she has become a political animal.
Yeah.
I think there was some, and please understand how I, in the context I'm using the word, I do think that there was some purity to, you know, to her wanting to have power, which was to move forth a particular agenda. Not that she wouldn't do that if she became president, but I also believe that now, if, you know, her goal was to become president. For example, you and I, if we became president, we could care less about the power. We'd do it for one thing and one thing only, and that would be
public service.
Well, and pushing my agenda forward, which I guess would be called public service.
Okay, fine. I'll bring my agenda into it. Is that necessary? Seriously? We're going to have to put commercials together and everything? Okay, fine.
But so that would be the second thing is that it isn't jealousy, or it's partial jealousy, and also partly that she's going to destroy the party, that we have to pretend that we're more in the center in order to win. We may not be, but we need to pretend that we are. And he was one of the few that in the primary when he ran in 2008, he was extremely liberal to the point of talking about skyrocketing electricity prices. My goal is to skyrocket electricity prices and bankrupt the electric utilities that use coal. It's like, what? And yeah. When the campaign started, he moved right to the center. I'll never forget the firefighter who I used to work out with when I used to do my ice skating hockey workouts.
Now, that was separate from the figure skating hockey workouts. That's a different time of year.
I know. Did you notice the pause? Anybody who's been a long-time listener knew the pause was coming.
You were opening the door for me.
Exactly. But I'll never forget when, we never talked politics. He says, hey, you know, but he knew I was in talk radio and listened once in a while, depending on the shift that he was on. And he said, you know, I've been listening to Obama, and he's quite conservative.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll never forget that. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, now we're to the point where the far left is so entrenched into the Democrat Party, they don't want to pretend that they're on the left, and that's what you're seeing. There was another candidate out there for another political office that, you know, came out, and I think she was on Tucker Carlson. I can't remember her name right now, but she was talking about, no, Medicare for all can work, and we can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the government can put in we've seen government slam down healthcare systems onto the people. Mm-hmm. But we can afford it because we're still a country.
Mm-hmm.
We can't provide timely healthcare,
mm-hmm.
but we can afford it.
Mm-hmm. Not everything.
Not everything.
And not for everybody. If you're old, we're going to give you a pill and let you go home so you can die.
Well, I think, where's Robert Reich Where is he now?
Right.
Why isn't he involved in this conversation where now you have the Democratic Party talking about Medicare for all?
Right.
When he said, as somebody on the left, an Obama advisor, said if you're really going to be truthful about health care, if the government's going to take it over, that young people are going to have to pay a heck of a lot more, and we're going to have to let old people die.
Yeah.
Get involved in that conversation. Would he dare say that now? Would he dare say that now? Or would he be marginalized by the Democrats if he said that?
Well, it's been a few years since he said it, so he's actually old now, so he might not say it.
That's a great point, yeah. Because as I told you, as I get older, I disagree with that position more as I get older.
Oh, I'm going to start protesting, but I have to take a nap first.
Also coming up, the Biden and Trump early 2020 polls are out. If the election were held today, you and I always love that.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys said no apologies, no regrets for his anthem stand. The timeline of now out, some hints of the Kavanaugh confirmation. We'll tell you about the New York Attorney General candidate that vows to prosecute ICE if elected. The Urban Meyer Ohio State controversy. We'll get to that here. Chris Rock compliments and defends Jerry Seinfeld. All about being woke. Are you a woke comedian?
Yeah.
You need to be a woke comedian.
We've talked about this.
Or woke is you.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I don't know whether the president's just up to his usual trolling, as he normally does, just to get a reaction from Democrats. And the first person who brought that up, I believe that was the Scott Baio. The political analyst Scott Baio, Chachi from Happy Days.
So those came under up, the age of 70. Happy Days was related to Opie.
Right. Exactly. Everything's everything goes back to Opie.
Exactly.
I wonder if Chachi and Opie ever get into arguments. but he just said, look, he's from Queens. We're from Queens. We mess with people.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what... But it's it gets to the point where if you're not going to do it, then figure out a strategy. And it gets to the point where it gets to at least to me, may not to you, but it gets tiresome. If we'll get into if he fired Sessions, what that would mean. I think you and I are of the same mindset. Get off of that tact and get out, unless you're trolling. So you can get to the point of saying, all right, you've said you're going to fire him. You get all the Democrats, totally wound up. And then you come out and say, nope, transparency for the FBI investigation. I want everything released.
Right. We're going to do this in a full, transparent fashion. Right. And this is going to be released now. Let's hope he does that. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
That same pattern we've been locked into now for over a week continues today. You can bet whenever you have opposite conditions on bookends of the country that the upper level winds have something to do with it. And that's what's in place. The jet stream, high ridge in the west, that's pushing heat and humidity into the region without a lot of moisture. In the center of the country, the jet stream begins to dip way south. And as a result, at the surface, we have a lot of moisture streaming up again today through the Gulf states, the deep south into the Carolinas, up into the mid-Atlantic and northeast. Today, those showers push a little further eastward than yesterday, with I-95 taking the brunt of the rainfall today. Primarily dry for the nation's midsection, we will see pop-up showers from southern and central Texas up into western Oklahoma and western Kansas today. And unfortunately, no rain to help in those California wildfires. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
They have no fear. Eric Hurley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, I saw that Starbucks now planning to open 2,000 stores in China.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure you and I haven't even talked to you about this, but I'm sure both you and I have suggestions of things that they should do with those stores in China.
Well, they should write, "Let's talk race" on the cup.
Well, not, I don't think, I think they ought to talk, "Let's talk freedom." Let's talk freedom. Let's, let's take political stands in China.
If you're at a Starbucks in China, can you loiter? Can you just sit there without buying anything?
Ah.
And who makes the rules? I'm just asking questions. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, Starbucks, did you ask that question before you decided to expand? By the way, this is China. Who makes the rules?
Well, here's the thing. If the Chinese authorities are taking you away, you're going to be able to come back and protest? You know, I mean, here in the States, the police, you can protest the police. You can protest Starbucks. You can protest just about anyone, you know, that whole First Amendment thing, blah, blah, blah. Are there going to be any protests there?
Well, this is a very, very important question.
Uh-huh.
Is Starbucks only going to focus on coffee in a more repressive society and only protest in a society where protest is allowed?
Well, by the way, they
created this.
Did they make the decision to focus on a place where you really can't protest? So we're going over here for a while.
We need to expand markets where we don't bring up politics, guys.
Yes.
We're number one, we're not going to bring up politics. Number two, we can't bring up politics.
Exactly.
We've got to just sell coffee. This is China.
Yeah.
If you want to pretend you care about the human race, only protest in America.
That's right. We've decided to focus on selling coffee. Aren't you guys a coffee company?
Yeah. I have to tell you this, just interesting. I was in Target the other day, and they've got, you know, the Starbucks there, the Target run.
Right, right. Inside the store, right.
And so there you have one of the, are they called associates, or is that just Walmart?
The Target associate. I don't know.
Are they associates there, or are they just employees? Well, you had a Target employee, and she was there and giving out small cups of coffee.
Right.
And it was Starbucks Plus, twice the caffeine. It was amazing the number of people, including me, and said, "Thanks, but no thanks."
I can't. Yeah.
Twice the caffeine.
Don't give that to me.
It was amazing the number of people saying, "Oh, wow. No, I can't. It's twice the." I saw probably 10 people. Everybody refused because they were like, "Double the caffeine? No, I don't need double the caffeine."
Yeah, No.
And this was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were still doing it. I'm like, no, everybody's loaded up. Maybe if you were open, and they don't open at 6 a.m., but if you were open at 6 a.m. and people were walking through,
mm-hmm.
and you said, "Try this new Plus coffee, it's double the caffeine," you might have a line out the door.
Right.
But at 1 in the afternoon, no.
No.
So I thought it was fun. And she was even getting a kick out of it. Yeah, as you know, the nice lady who was, offering the coffee,
mm-hmm.
she was smiling aggressive. I just can't. Double caffeine?
Yeah.
I just can't. So that was one of the questions. And if we don't ask the questions, who will?
Right.
And that's why we need to ask that question about Starbucks. What's going on here? Are you trying to find a market where you can get out of politics and just sell coffee? Well, you know, you actually can do that in the United States if you want.
It's allowed. Well, it's allowed. It's allowed by certain people. I mean, you could have done that originally. You could have done that and, you know, stayed with that. But now if you go back to that, right. Be careful.
Like, for example,
mm-hmm.
Any Starbucks in the North Texas area, Yeah. If Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott walks in, mm-hmm. don't harass him. Just give him his coffee and let him leave.
Right.
We'll get to that coming up here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just love that story where he said, and I, you know something, it's just so refreshing.
Yeah.
That, and I don't care who it is, could be Dak Prescott, could be anybody else, that, that challenges the left and then doesn't come back, you know, somebody who is high profile and just says, look, this is the way I feel.
Right.
And then doesn't apologize
yeah.
a day later. I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't offend anybody.
Right. Right. Like, who was it? The university, was it the dean of the university that had to apologize for congratulating an old friend? He was a Republican.
Republican. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call someone nice. That happened. That seriously happened. You people are doomed. I'm telling you. You're so doomed. You don't know how doomed you are. It's just...
That was the outrageous...
It's comical, it's entertaining, but holy cow, what does it come to when you can't say, hey, we don't agree politically, he's an old friend, congratulations, really nice guy. How dare you call him a nice guy?
Think about this. On one hand, you have the left... And Democrats, because this guy was, because this is actually about party. It wasn't even about ideology. This guy was a Republican.
Right. Yeah.
You have Democrats. You're a Nazi. You're a fascist.
Yes. Because you
would just kill and murder everybody. You are a totalitarian. You support the totalitarian mindset. Even though when you break it down, they don't, but it doesn't matter. That's on one end. That's okay. On the other end, I have a Republican friend, and he's running for office, and just to let you know, he's a really nice guy. I've known him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize for that now!
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I yelled off mic, so it wasn't right into the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So I
just... Thanks for that.
Yeah, but in order to, but you need to have that impact, because that's the rage. I think that does give you an example of the rage that they feel if you just... And, you know, and the whole problem is... The left cannot have anything normalized. Football can't be normal anymore. Football can never be football anymore. Movies can never be movies anymore. Comedy can't be comedy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was Chris Rock who put out that tweet. You and I were talking about that in our pre-show meeting, complimenting Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, it was a link to a story about how Seinfeld, someone had written a story about how Seinfeld is in comedians in cars getting... coffee. He's just hanging out with funny people, right? That's the whole gist of it. No politics, no agenda, nothing. I mean, there's some of it. What's interesting is that in the latest season, Ellen DeGeneres is in it, Zach Galifianakis, and you can tell they kind of want to go off on agenda, but Jerry just keeps it funny. It's about the funny. And he makes it, in fact, some stuff we can't talk about on the air, but he makes it very funny with the Ellen DeGeneres thing. And she's funny, by the way. The whole agenda thing is not part. Go do that. You know, you can do that, be an activist somewhere else. When you're doing the comedy, be funny. But Chris Rock tweeted out that story and then wrote, you know, after his tweet, thank God for Jerry. Was it thank God for Jerry or God bless Jerry? This is Chris Rock. The other, who was it? Oh, Jamie Foxx talking about recently on a podcast. He was asked about, is it harder to do comedy? Because Jamie Foxx was talking about this movie where he's working with all these different actors, and each of the actors is going to play someone who is like a different nationality than they are.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Cultural appropriation.
Exactly. And so when you can't do that, and Jamie Foxx was saying, man, people just need to calm down. It's comedy. You know, and Chris Rock, Jamie Foxx have both made it huge success. And I wonder where that line is with, because I think they represent most of America in that thought. They represent most of America.
But comedy isn't funny anymore because we shouldn't have time for comedy.
Right.
When the Nazis are in charge.
Exactly.
That's the mindset.
Yes. That exactly.
Throw,
because how dare you laugh?
The fascists and Nazis
yes.
are in charge. And so if you take 5 minutes, if you take 30 seconds to enjoy a football game, well, then you're enabling the fascists and the Nazis. If you take 5 minutes to laugh at a joke or a stand-up comedy set,
mm-hmm.
well, then you're part of the problem because you're not angry constantly of what's going on. They are attempting to say that society as we know it, it's sort of like that story that we read the other day about, you know, the people that feel that the world is going to end because of Trump, and they're going to psychologists and they've seen an uptick in people that believe the world's going to end. Stop with the drama.
You know, Brian Regan is also his second appearance on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the newer season, and he in this moment they're riding in the car and he goes, you know, I was asked to sit on a panel, you know, to talk about, you know, how you do comedy, right? How you write comedy, how you write lines and bits and do stand-up. He said, and they were at these younger comedians or people in the audience, young people were asking me, how do you use pathos and intertwine the pathos in your, and he said, what? And Seinfeld was like, no, that's what the new generation wants. And he says, you know, guys our age, there's enough pathos in real life at home. I get that at home. I just want to laugh. That's all I want to do. But that's what it's become. You and I talked, it was a few months ago when we said, and I really want to do this. I'd really love to go out, maybe on a vacation I'll do this, just go to pick a comedy club. I mean, you know, an improv,
yeah.
you know, high profile comedy club, and just go on a Friday or Saturday night. When, you know, a marquee name is up and just see, you know, what is the setting in a comedy club, or what is the comedy stand up about that's actually going on? Not on TV, not the specials
right.
for Netflix or HBO. I mean, in the clubs.
Because the club still exists. So what's actually working in the clubs?
Right.
And one of the things that's got me interested in going out, because I think we've had this discussion, is that, what is it? The dry bar.
Yeah.
Comedy, which is,
yeah.
and it's supposed to, it's clean comedy.
Right, right.
They promote the fact that it's clean comedy,
mm-hmm.
but you have, and I can't even think of some of the people's names, some of
right.
the comics' names, but you can tell these are journeymen.
Yeah.
I mean, they are these, and the ones I'm talking about is like three or four different guys, and they got it down. I mean, they know how to do comedy. They know what's funny. And it's hilarious, and there's no fakery. There's a natural flow to it, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, wow! Well, this guy could succeed in it." And it was funny because the one guy I saw, and he looks like he's probably about 55 years old, and you and I had this question: are older comics, because of the experience that they have, knowing how to get a laugh,
yeah.
are they more valuable now?
Yeah.
To a comedy club, and I don't know the answer to this. It's a question.
Right, no, but I know where you're going.
Are they more valuable to a comedy club because they will bring people in who will die laughing and be able to escape it?
Right.
And do the young comedians of today, the ones that are, you know, doing the amateur nights and just trying to get a slot at the clubs, are they not, frankly, that funny anymore? Because as Brian Regan said, they ask about pathos. So, Are you bringing sadness, and how do you bring the sadness and pity and
right.
the doomed feeling of society? And what are you talking about?
Exactly, Brad Upton, I think, is the one you're thinking about.
Brad Upton,
and he's really great.
Oh,
The website drybarcomedy.com.
Drybarcomedy. He is solid.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I'm thinking to myself, I don't see him. I don't see him on the shows, you know, at
right,
night.
Right.
Now I'm thinking, you know, he'd be on a Carson and kill, but do mm-hmm. they want somebody like him?
Right.
Do they even want him?
Right.
Somebody who I know that guy kills in the comedy clubs.
Oh yeah.
866-90 Red Eye.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90 Red Eye.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric, I'm Gary. Should the president keep threatening to fire Mueller or have, you know, or tell Sessions to fire Mueller or just kill the investigation with transparency?
Right.
We'll get to that coming up following top of the hour, plus the timeline for the Kavanaugh confirmation and the Urban Meyer Ohio State controversy, which came to light really yesterday. We'll get to that and more, plus your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Thank you for being here this morning. President yesterday tweeting again, this is a terrible situation and Attorney Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now before it continues to stain our country any further. Bob Mueller is totally conflicted and his 17 angry Democrats that are doing his dirty work are a disgrace to the USA. And so this continues where the president will, you know, keep going after Mueller and the investigation. If anybody has covered this in specific details over the last couple of years, it's the people you're listening to right now. We understand exactly why the president is furious. I'd be furious if I was in the president's situation. I'd be livid if I was in the president's situation because why? There still isn't an allegation of any wrongdoing. And we have brought this up on I'm not exaggerating here, hundreds of shows and hundreds of times we have brought that up. We have brought up the fact that actually the collusion that exists is in the Hillary campaign. I believe the president is making a serious mistake in trying to adjudicate this by tweets only. I think the president now, from watching Rudy Giuliani, has the wrong person speaking for him each and every day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Giuliani, for me, doesn't cut it. You need somebody who is going to be specific and bring up, as we have said every day, now you hear it more from the president, you heard it from Rand Paul last week when he talked about collusion. But the messaging, I believe, from the president is completely wrong on this. The messaging is just wrong.
Right.
You've got strong, specific points that you can make each and every day, but when it comes down to it, this investigation is going to continue. One way or another, even if you fire Mueller.
If
you fire Mueller, still going to continue. There are still people that work under him, so you'd have to fire everybody under him. But the information that they have acquired still is there. And as the Wall Street Journal pointed out this morning, any U.S. attorney could pick up any of the information that exists there and would be pressured to by a significant portion of Congress to do so. Plus the cry that you have something to hide because you're stopping the investigation from going.
Yeah, we said when after the firing of Comey and people started talking about obstruction, and we said, wait a minute. No. That's not obstruction. Because the information, whatever Comey or the FBI had on the president or the campaign or anything else, any of that investigation and its components, the evidence, are preserved. Comey's gone, but that doesn't mean the investigation is gone. So that is not obstruction. Obstruction would be going into the FBI offices and then taking those, all that information, destroying the evidence and, you know, something like that. In this case, we'll turn that around here. And just as you pointed out just a minute ago, Gary, doesn't matter what you do to Mueller. The political will to keep this thing going is there on the left, and it's going to remain. And as you mentioned, that means any U.S. attorney, as they pointed out in the Wall Street Journal, can pick this thing up and run with it. And so it's not going to stop it. What will bring this to, I think, to the place where it should be, frankly, is the president declassifying this information, saying, let's just open this up. This is what we want to do now. Let's be completely transparent, and let's show the American people how all of this came to be.
And I think, as they pointed out, look, you may have some people in the Justice Department quit and the allegations that you're interfering with the Mueller investigation, but you're winning because you're siding with transparency.
Right.
And that's what you need to promote. But that's what you should have been messaging all along, that we need transparency. We need transparency. We're not getting transparency. The key words like that the American public understands, that I believe the president, instead of attacking Mueller, you attack the fact that you want transparency because nobody knows what Mueller's doing.
Right.
You may suspect what Mueller's doing, but nobody knows what he's doing. We know what the Democrats are doing. We know what the FBI is doing. We know what the Department of Justice is doing. We know that the people slowly are understanding and looking at what's going on and saying, okay, we have suspicions about what is going on here. But it doesn't solve anything by continuing harping on firing Mueller, firing Mueller, firing Mueller. Talk about the transparency. Talk about the transparency. Unless you're using this just to troll the Democrats, and then 3 weeks from now or in September, when as we get closer to the election, you start releasing whether it's the FISA application, whether it's a procedure documents of everything that you used and how you verified what goes in the FISA warrant, which you have to do, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, you know, all the different 302s out there with Bruce Orr and and the interviews with Christopher Steele. You open this all up. You say you didn't collude with the Russians. There is no evidence that you colluded with the Russians. You start declassifying this information. Sources and methods stay out of it, but you declassify to know what was in the interviews, and you find out why this investigation started. The Democrats don't want to do it. The Democrats are screaming, I think Morning Joe said it. It's not collusion. Now it's a conspiracy. That's the new one.
Right, yeah.
As you brought up yesterday, you said this is going to be the new talking points.
Yep.
It's not collusion. It's a conspiracy. Let's evolve it into something else. A conspiracy of what? And so the only thing that can stop the insanity on the left is transparency. And if you have members of the Justice Department or others quit, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, you're erring on the side of transparency. And if the Democrats scream you're only letting some of it out, well, then fine. What else do you want me to let out? Just like the Republican memo, we had the Democrat memo. And what did we find out? We found out that Nunes was right. More transparency, more transparency, more transparency. The firing Mueller narrative is going nowhere. And if you ended up firing him or firing the attorney general over it, and the attorney general probably, as they pointed out, probably won't even respond because he's recused from it. He can't respond because he recused himself from it. So the fact is, you keep harping on it, and you may be building, with your loyal supporters, more anger, but you're not solving the problem. Eventually, you have to solve the problem. Eventually, you have to get past the political rhetoric. You believe you're innocent. You know you didn't do anything wrong. There's no evidence of doing anything wrong. Nothing's ever leaked of you doing anything wrong. That should be the narrative day in and day out, and what you should continually say that, not just in tweets, but with your representative. And I just believe that Rudy Giuliani is the wrong person to be doing it. Mm-hmm. And you need to be pounding it every single day, and you need to be screaming for transparency. And the threat should be, if we don't get the transparency and find out the truth so the American public know I didn't do anything, and the only people that colluded with the Russians that we know of is Hillary Clinton on the Democratic National Committee, and you do speeches on that, and you send your people out to talk about that every day, because why? Then the Democrats have to talk about Hillary Clinton and the DNC, and the money did go through.
They'll fact check it.
Yeah, it did go through Perkins Coie. It did go through this. Well, they didn't directly do it, but indirectly, well, I guess you could say they colluded with the Russians. Excuse me, if it was Trump and the RNC mm-hmm. that paid money to a law firm, that paid it to Fusion GPS, that paid it to a foreign national who got dirt from the Russians in order to change the dirt on Hillary to change the outcome of the election, you're damn straight the Democrats would be calling it collusion.
Oh, they would be. All the documents and everything that they've got on that side, they would be putting up on television every night in the graphics.
What,
it would be on every website.
What's killing me is you have the greatest defense. You have the greatest defense and accusations against the other campaign for doing exactly what you have been doing. You're not messaging it correctly, and your solution to it is what? What is your solution to it? Not firing anybody, not the perception of, you know, as I saw the other day, this the perception or the attempt of obstruction of justice. The only thing you're talking about that people want to hear about what they want from government is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Donald Trump. I'll give you transparency. I'm not going to fire people left and right on a situation that nobody knows what happened in here because nobody will talk. I'm going to get you transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, finally yesterday after the tweet, I just said, enough already. Enough already. Solve the problem.
Yeah, be done with it. Put the evidence out there. Let's go.
And message it correctly.
Yep.
Message it every day correctly. Don't do it half posterior. Don't believe that, if I throw out a couple of tweets every day, this is going to solve the problem.
Yes. He's actually the one person with authority that can do that.
Right. Solve the problem.
Because firing Mueller, firing Rosenstein, firing anybody isn't going to change anything in the landscape. What changes it is the American people seeing exactly how this came to be. That's what changes it. Declassify the information. And you want to see the left scramble like they've never scrambled before? Why are they...
Well, as
if there's nothing there, why in the world aren't they calling for transparency? Adam Schiff.
Right. As WSJ said in the Wall Street Journal, don't give the Democrats what they want.
Right.
Give them what they don't want. Transparency. Well, we're going to quit because the president's interfering. What do you mean interfering? I'm giving transparency so people know what goes on. Is this not the truth? Talk about the truth. Constantly talk about the truth and transparency. The Democrats can't beat that argument.
No. Can't do it. It's. Tell me where they would be screaming that we shouldn't have transparency. The only thing they'll say is you're interfering with the, how is opening everything up interfering?
Right.
You've got a very easy answer to that.
Right. Is anything that I've opened up false?
Right. It's not my information.
Right.
This is their information.
Well, you didn't release everything. Fine. What would you like me to release?
Yeah.
Democrats, what would you like me to release?
Yeah.
You said that I...
You guys come to the White House. Let's sit down.
Right. You've said I've cherry-picked. I've invited you to the White House. I want transparency and truth. Over and over. It's not that hard.
It's not.
Don't make something harder than it is.
Well, and if you really want to end it. And by the way, you talk about bombshell leading into the election season. Here we are in August. By the time this thing was, we parsed through everything, if he declassified this information, by the time we went through everything, I mean, the dust will have settled in November and the light will be squarely on.
Look,
what happened?
I think it's pretty obvious the FBI and Department of Justice is trying to hide information from the American public. They have all along.
Clearly.
Everything that we were told was going to release top secret information that would get people killed and identify sources and methods was a lie.
There's not one Democrat screaming to get that information released. Why?
Right.
It's certainly because Adam Schiff has said multiple times there's evidence. Great. Let's see it. Show the American people. The president has the power to do this.
Right. I think the accusation that I colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election when we know it was the Hillary campaign who did it, Ah, fact check that one, will you? Mm-hmm. Washington Post and the New York Times. And keep saying it because then they got to fact check it.
Right.
And get the proper spokespeople out there doing it for you. And I'm sorry, Giuliani to me is just not cutting it.
No, he's not helping. We've said that the first couple of weeks when he was on the job. The messages are back and forth.
Yep.
And I'm talking about Giuliani's messages.
The messaging should be consistent and the same every day.
Yep.
If you want to say I believe it's a witch hunt, that's fine. But then get into what would solve the witch hunt? Firing anybody or transparency? Forget about the firing, transparency.
Turn the lights on. Let's
transparency.
Go.
Turn the lights on. Shine the sunlight on it. Disinfect the swamp. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, finding available loads is easier than ever with the app from DrayNow. Mike Albert is the CEO of DrayNow and has more.
Well, we started DrayNow to give them access to freight that is a niche in the transportation industry that usually truckers aren't very familiar with. Typically, in the intermodal industry, truckers don't have visibility or access to this type of freight. Drivers choose what they want, when they want, to suit their personal lives. We really focus on short-haul movements. Our average haul may be 140 to 150 miles. We give them localized freight they can choose every day. They can do one, two, or even three loads in a day, where most load boards don't have that. The days of drivers talking about gross revenue really need to become a thing of the past, in my opinion. It's okay making $4,000 or $5,000 of gross revenue a week and using less fuel. It's more about what you put in your pocket. We have a simple vetting process where carriers enroll with us. Once they do that, they have access to the freight. There's no cost to the app. You go to our website, which is www.draynow.com, and click on the carrier tab. That actually starts the process.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's go to David in Independence, Missouri. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You guys have a, very intelligent show.
Thanks.
You present the facts, and I hope he'll take your advice. I mean, I'm a Democrat, mm-hmm. But I used to be a Democrat back when Democrats actually believed in something instead of nothing, which they do today. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, and I wish they'd all know that.
You wish they would?
The guy's doing great things for the country. Why can't people understand that?
They don't want to understand that because they can't get over the loss still. That's the problem, and thank you for the call. They can't get over the loss. They can't get over the fact that they didn't win the White House forever. They really thought they did Obama was elected twice.
Do you have the same reaction that I do when you hear constantly, especially from CNN, MSNBC, he doesn't act presidential. Mm-hmm. He's not presidential. Duh.
Right.
Well, you just wake up and you're still shocked over that today? Do you understand what happened in 2016?
Right. Do you think they just woke up on November election day in 2016? November 8th?
They were just born. They became woke.
Oh. They got woke.
They got woke.
Okay.
They weren't born, but they got woke on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, the shocking. I can't believe the things he says. He's not presidential. Well, duh.
Were you around for the election season at all?
Have you been paying attention? No, he's not an Obama. He's not a Bush. No, he's never was a politician.
Mm-hmm. That was in fact part of the point, a huge part of the point.
Do you get it? Do you get it yet?
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that Hollywood adored him.
Yeah.
You know, for years. I mean, the left adored him for years. The moment he ran for president, he's the devil. You know, and look, we've seen it before. And even Bill Maher pretty much let the cat out of the bag, out of the liberal bag. Oh, the other ones weren't Hitler. This guy really is Hitler. Shut up.
Save Society, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour is sponsored by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
You and I were just doing an update on the story, breaking story yesterday that George Herbert Walker Bush's cardiologist who was murdered.
Yeah.
Was it Dr. Mark Houskinet?
Yeah.
And the fact that they know who did it, the suspect, and that it was a 20-year-long grudge against him because this guy's mother, apparently, he treated her and she died.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
They're looking for Joseph James Pappas. The police have searched his home. He wasn't there. They say he's the one that gunned down Dr. Houskinet, and the doctor was on his bicycle right there at the medical center when he was gunned down. And, you know, people were wondering, I guess, at first, all right, was there any connection to the former president or anything here? But authorities, as you said, believe this grudge that's been around for two decades, basically, came after his mother died during surgery, and Dr. Houskinet, being the cardiologist, his mother's cardiologist. So they have not located him. We're following this story, and they are looking for him, but we haven't seen any reports where he has been found.
Because when it first happened, I mean, thoughts go through your head. I was thinking, wow, on a bicycle and shoots him, and you're thinking to yourself, that's almost like it's a sophisticated hit.
Right.
And I started thinking about some of the hit squads that the drug cartels in Colombia when they used to be on the motorcycles, and we'll commit murders that way. And I just started thinking, you do it on a bike. A couple of things I thought, well, either you're sophisticated or you're not, because you can't get away really quick if you're on a bike. Yeah. And so I was wondering, was this, you know, really some type of sophisticated hit job? And I think probably a lot of other people thought the same thing. And is this, is it a serial killer? But the fact of how it was done and the pictures and the of him, the killer on the bike,
right,
and everything else, but to see that this is what it was, a 20-year medical grudge because your mother died on the operating table. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much more bizarre you can get than that.
Yeah, the police chief there in Houston actually was Art Acevedo said at the press conference, he was a brilliant man, brilliant doctor. And, of course, I think you would get that if you're going to be the cardiologist for a former president,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It just boggles the mind. I mean, I understand the grief of losing your mom. but driven to this point 20 years later to shoot the doctor that I guess he believes was responsible. So just bizarre. We'll follow the story throughout the morning and let you know if there's an update here. Still looking for Pappas. He is on the run.
866-90-RED-EYE. In other news, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has taken a beating, as we know, on social media the last couple of days since his comments last week, where he said, and I'm reading this here, this is from the Star-Telegram, where it says, seemingly supporting owner's Jerry Jones' edict regarding protest. Actually, he didn't support Jerry Jones. He made that very clear.
Yeah, because he said if other people want to do that, I think he actually said if other teammates want to do that, that's on them, but I don't do that.
Yeah, he said, I don't do that. It doesn't matter whether I play for Jerry Jones or Steve Jones. It doesn't matter who I play for. I just don't believe it's the proper venue to do it.
Yeah, right.
He didn't say, well, I want to do it, but I won't because I don't want the wrath of Jerry.
Right.
But where they write here, and this is Clarence Hill in the Star-Telegram, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has taken a beating on social media since his comments last week, seemingly supporting owner Jerry Jones' edict. Seemingly, either you did or he didn't. And if you saw the text of it, this is what I believe.
Was it Dak or was it Zeke that said, we're Cowboys and we stand, you know, we're the Dallas Cowboys and we stand. And I think both of them pretty much were saying, look, if other people want to do that, that's, you know, they'd do that. But we prefer to stand. And Zeke was basically backing up his teammate here. But I don't know that it was necessarily in support. As you mentioned, doesn't matter who I play for. That's what Dak was saying. Doesn't matter who I play for, who owns the team. I stand. He was sympathetic to the causes and everything else, and that's fine. But there's a time and place. That's basically the message from his statement.
It prompted a swift and visceral backlash on social media, accusing Prescott of selling out and not supporting a cause very dear to many people of color, especially with President Donald Trump continuing to use the issue to attack the NFL and fire up his base. Prescott received criticism from journalists, rappers, comedians, and some fellow NFL players. His own Twitter and Instagram pages have been bombarded by the number of unflattering memes and comments. He said, I'm not oblivious to it. That's a quote from Prescott. Told the Star-Telegram after practice on Tuesday, you get on social media, you see it. Doesn't bother me. I said what I said. You have an opinion. Everyone else has an opinion. They're entitled to it as well. I accept what they said and respect it. They should respect mine. Prescott regrets nothing that he said. He believes in standing for the anthem because it's a time of reflection for him. He said his views of the protest were misunderstood and that he certainly recognizes racism and inequality issues still plaguing our country.
I don't think that's, there's not too far to go into that message, right? I mean,
no.
It's not too deep. But you can't do that today. But you can't even compliment an old friend for winning an election and say that they're a nice guy. You can't do that. How dare you not take a side, right?
I apologize if I, was that Georgia? The Georgia University,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Where the professor complimented an old friend of his and said he's a really nice, you know, irrespective of your politics, he's a really nice guy and has helped me. And he had to take it back and he had to apologize. He had to apologize for offending anybody for calling his Republican friend a nice guy.
Yes. It's a longtime friend and he called him a nice guy. How dare you?
See, luckily, none of my friends ever call me that. So,
right, exactly. So they're safe.
Yeah, I never have to worry about that.
They're in their safe space. Permanently.
But what, I would ask this question. What kind of a person apologizes for calling somebody else a nice guy?
Well, there's the other thing. I would have come out and said, let me be clear. He is a nice guy.
Yeah.
just
no, that would be, oh, that would be great. All right, let me be clear here, because there's been a lot of controversy about what I said about my friend. I want to make it clear, absolutely clear to everybody listening. Everybody have their tape recorders on here, because we called the press conference here.
Are we ready?
And all of you showed up.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you that I apologize for nothing.
Yeah.
He's not only, except I do wish to clarify, he is not only a nice guy, he is an extremely nice guy and a wonderful person.
Yeah, I'm going to call him tomorrow.
Well, what kind of adults feel that they have to back off of something like that? Seriously, what is wrong with people's character?
When they believe I
can't stand the flack from calling somebody a nice guy. I got to give it to, look, I understand that we all in the media, you understand, you know, social media backlash, whatever. But the fact is, and that's why I give credit to Dak Prescott for saying, look, this is what I believe. I'm not going to apologize. I don't have to believe like you believe.
Right.
And the fact is, the fact that you demonize me doesn't make me want to apologize to you. It makes me want to tell you that you're full of it and I respect you and you don't respect me. So, in fact, you make me stand by my opinion even more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dak was saying.
Yeah, right.
I respect your opinion. You respect my opinion.
Yep.
No, it doesn't go that way.
You can't have that. The baby is still crying. How dare you turn away from the baby while the baby's still crying?
Now, I do have to ask this question because the preseason starts tonight, right?
Yep.
It's a Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
So the preseason starts tonight.
Here we go.
Remember that a few months ago we had players that said that, and there were quite a few of them, we were told.
Yeah.
Sources indicate there are quite a few players that are willing to sit out the season for this. Have we seen one person willing to sit out the season yet?
No.
Okay, I just wondered. I wanted to do an update on this.
Well, Kaepernick, he's going to sit out the season, we think. It's for the cause.
Let me rephrase this.
Cause nobody
is anybody
has hired him on a team.
Is anybody voluntarily?
No, it's for his cause. How dare you?
Is anybody voluntarily not going to play this year?
Oh, well, that's different. Okay.
Of their own volition.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
I haven't heard any agreement yet. Do we know anything about the agreement?
I haven't heard a thing, and how hard is it? What do you have to negotiate? What are they in periods of 8 hours? We're in intense negotiations 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
For what?
It's real simple. You know, this means it's going to be really complicated. You know that, right? I mean, seriously, it's going to be way too complicated. Hey, we're the NFL. You guys still want to play in the NFL? Yeah. All right, then.
I had an idea yesterday. My brother and I were, my brother's visiting, and so we had a little back and forth on this.
Yeah.
And I came up with an idea as we were driving around yesterday.
Right.
That he asked me, he said, what do you think the compromise is going to be? And I said, all the players have agreed to stand for the national anthem, but it will be the national anthem of Venezuela.
Okay. Yes. I would let's just see where it goes. I'd love to see what they come up with, but yeah, the longer it goes on, the more complicated it's going to be.
Well, now, as it's been pointed out, and we pointed it out many times, it's been pointed out by a number in the media, and we pointed out many times. Now we're into year three, and nothing's been solved. That's what would tick me off the most if I was an owner. because you know these things are going to happen. Right. There's the ups and downs in sports, and you're always going to have some people wish to protest at some point. You know this is going to happen. The whole point is you need to resolve this in the first season, not three seasons later saying, wow, we have no solution to this whatsoever.
Yeah.
So either they stand for the national anthem, but it's a national anthem of Venezuela, or they form another league, the National Protest League, that you and I talked about.
Yes, which there won't be a game.
No, it's a just...
It'll be 3 hours of protest.
Protest, yes. You'll have a line of protesters on one side, a line of protesters on the other side, and then they'll go at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to import soccer fans from around the world to also participate in the riot that ensues afterwards.
Yeah. Good
All
luck.
Right. Yes. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll have more talk about the president, get to more calls because people wanted to talk about it. The president talking about Sessions needs to get rid of Mueller and us stating that there should be a different strategy now.
Yeah.
That go after transparency, go after the truth, start declassifying, start threatening to declassify, then declassify, see the response from Democrats. Say, fine, we won't cherry pick. You want something declassified, we'll declassify more of it. But side on, if you're going to side on the, or decide to side on the side of transparency.
Yeah, you're going to have to make that decision, and right. He has the power to do that.
Right.
Open up this investigation, shed some light on the details as to how we got here. Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley. Good morning. Thanks for being here this morning. Just reading Jonathan Turley from USA Today, the constitutional law professor, who's not a Trump supporter, but has, you know, like Alan Dershowitz, looked at all the accusations against him and has said all along, nothing there. As we have always said, but he was talking about he had an article in the USA Today about Trump's tweets are not obstruction of justice. He said they may be ill-advised, but they're not obstruction of justice. Mm. He writes, the ill-advised tweet was immediately held up by Trump opponents as clear evidence of obstruction of justice, in again pressuring Sessions to fire special counsel Robert Mueller. California Representative Adam Schiff, the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, declared soon after the tweet, the president of the United States just called on his attorney general to put an end to an investigation in which the president, his family, and campaign may be implicated. This is an attempt to obstruct justice, hiding in plain sight. Yes, it is indeed in plain sight, but it's also plainly not a crime. If Trump's tweets were used as the basis for a criminal allegation, it would reduce Mueller from hunting Russian collaborators in our presidential election to punish presidential trolling on social media. Many of us have criticized Trump's tweets, but those that are arguing for a tweet-based indictment should consider implications of such a prosecution. Trump continues to ignore the universal advice of sympathetic lawyers and Republican politicians to stop tweeting about his criminal investigation. from the outside, Mueller's case thus far for any criminal conduct by Trump of obstruction or conspiracy is exceptionally weak. For that reason, a rational approach would be to let the investigation go forward, supporting it as a way to clear any lingering public doubts about Trump's electoral victory. Trump's continued tweets only fueled doubts by making the president appear obsessed and unnerved. Moreover, the worst possible course at this stage would be for Sessions to do as Trump has demanded. Sessions correctly recused himself from this matter upon the advice of career officials of the Justice Department. Not only would Sessions have to violate that recusal position, but the order to terminate Mueller and his investigation would trigger a cascading series of events that would not turn out well for the administration. Sessions would likely have to fire Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and others at the Justice Department.
Yeah.
The decision would write the first count of impeachment for the House of Representatives if it switched hands in November. Tweets do not constitute obstruction of justice. Putting all that aside, those that insist that tweets constitute obstruction of justice are dangerously misinformed. Subjects and targets of investigations do not surrender their First Amendment rights. Trump insists that he is innocent. He may well be right. He views this investigation as a partisan effort by the Justice Department officials with expressly hostile views of him and his candidacy. He has every right to speak publicly about the allegations against him. He notably has not used his inherent powers to take action against Sessions, Rosenstein, or Mueller. When the Clintons were under investigation in Whitewater and related allegations, they and their associates continually attacked the vast right-wing conspiracy allegedly behind the effort. They savaged the reputation of independent counsel Kenneth Starr. There were zero calls for obstruction prosecutions coming from the many commentators and members calling for such prosecution this week. Most important, loose talk about tweets as an obstruction continues to ignore legal definitions of obstruction of justice. As we have said all along, but we still believe, and I may differ in a few points there from Jonathan Turley, but as we have said, I think the president's defense should be much more focused. It should be focused on transparency. It should be focused on the truth. And it should be focused, I believe, on getting to the truth of what actually was going on at the FBI and the Department of Justice. And I do believe that if he's going to have the threat should be, I think it's time to release classified information, to redact important things so the public can know. We need
to unredact, yeah.
What I say, redact, mm-hmm. unredact. Mm-hmm. We need to unredact portions of it, protecting sources. We have seen so far that every time the Democrats claim that it's we need to protect sources and methods, and so we need to keep these things redacted. We find out that the Democrats are not telling you the truth. Challenge them and challenge them big time. Accuse them of not telling the truth. Accuse them of not wanting transparency. Accuse them of screaming, go after Adam Schiff. He accuses me and says he has evidence. Bring it forward. Otherwise, I will declassify and unredact portions of this so Americans can know the truth. And before you accuse me of cherry picking, then you tell me what else should be unredacted.
Well, yeah, let's get Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff together, along with the FBI director. Let's all sit down. Let's go through this. No cherry picking. Mr. Schiff, you're up. It's your turn. You get to help shed some light on all of this. You claim there's proof. All right. Let's go. No fear here. Let's just go through this, and we will keep methods and sources redacted, but everything else is going to come out.
Yep. Let's do it.
Why isn't the left calling for this?
We have said all along that the left, and it's amazing because when we talked about this a year ago, we would be pounded with people on the left. I have to tell you, I've never seen it so quiet. You have a few of the allegations being thrown out. You have MSNBC and, you know, CNN talking about possible collusion. It's gone from collusion to conspiracy. You've heard all sorts of allegations about Trump being a Russian agent, a Russian operative, and everything. Fine. Let's release the evidence that the FBI got on Trump. Why aren't the Democrats are throwing out all of these allegations, generalized allegations about Trump? They say they believe it. Fine. Let's find out what the government has on Trump.
Yep.
Not filtered through anybody. Not filtered through Robert Mueller. Not filtered through, Nunes. Not filtered through Adam Schiff. Not filtered through MSNBC. Not filtered through CNN or Fox or Red Eye Radio or anybody out there. Let's see the actual documents and have the American public decide. That should be the narrative from the president.
Yep.
And let's see how the Democrats respond to it. And then I would bring up consistently, and I also believe that, as we said earlier, that Rudy Giuliani is not the person to be defending you, that you need to be on message all the time, and you need to bring up that the only collusion that we know with the Russians, and you go through it, just don't say Hillary colluded, say Hillary Clinton and the DNC paying, go through it. It only takes 15 seconds. Hillary Clinton and the DNC paying the law firm Perkins Coie to funnel their money to Fusion GPS, to the foreign national Christopher Steele, the former spy, who then got information, unverified information and salacious lies about me. This is what I would say if I was the president. To use, to try to defeat me in the election, and when they couldn't do it, tried to delegitimize the election of 2016, and have the media have to cover that statement every day. Cover that statement, fact-checked all of those statements, and then have that war going on instead of the war of should we impeach him for wanting to fire Mueller. The president can set the narrative of what the media discuss. Do it. This isn't rocket science.
Nope. It's not that hard. And tell me where the objection would be. Oh, no, we're involving the Democrats.
Right.
In fact, the top Democrat on the House Intel Committee, along with the chair, Devin Nunes, we're all going to be involved in it. Bipartisan effort.
Bipartisan. No, Democrats don't want to be a part of it, huh? Well, they won't release all of it. Won't part of it? Won't they release? Let us know.
Make sure everybody's in the room at the same time.
Go after them in each and every accusation with the substance of what you have.
Yep.
Not let's not have an argument about what we don't know. Let's have an argument about what we know. That's the advice I'd give the Trump administration. Don't deal in supposed things. Don't deal in I've done nothing wrong and they believe I've done something wrong. Let's find out. We've had that back and forth for a year and a half. Let's actually find out. Transparency and the truth. That's what the president should be saying every single day. Transparency and the truth. We want transparency and the truth. His attorney should be saying transparency and the truth. Transparency and the truth. Forget about the speculation that we hear from Democrats every day. Let's get to the actual truth.
Yeah.
What does the FBI and Department of Justice think they have on me? What do the Democrats continue to promote that I somehow committed collusion with the Russians? Let's find out if they are telling you the truth or if they're lying about me. Be blunt, Mr. President. That's one of the reasons you won.
Yep, you can end this now. Because the first thing that's going to happen is Adam Schiff and the Democrats are going to flinch.
Well, you're making it easy for them. As the Wall Street Journal said, you know, don't give the Democrats what they want. Don't every day give them what they want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. He's not going to declassify it.
Oh, thank God. He said again today, I'm going to fire Mueller. Good. We can accuse him of wanting to obstruct justice again.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether we have a point. People will say, well, you know, I don't know if he's guilty. And I think, yeah, it's part of a wish hunt. But Trump keeps saying he wants to fire people in the investigation. If he's innocent, well, then why would you want to stop the investigation?
Yep.
So you're not going to stop the investigation no matter what. So don't try. Go your own way. Transparency.
Well, because the truth. It's interesting. I saw this article, CNN.com. Chris Eliza writes the article about how this really isn't going to end with an indictment of the president. It's not going to happen, basically. And I'm paraphrasing, you know, and paring down this article here to the idea really is it's going to be a report that comes out by Mueller. That's likely what's going to happen here. You might have, I would add to this Chris Eliza, you know, piece here at CNN.com that, there might be another associate or somebody else indicted lying to investigators or something else, whatever it might be. Because the narrative on the obstruction thing is back again, with the sources close to the White House say Mueller wants to ask about obstruction. That comes from Giuliani talking about it with ABC News last week. And they're trying to negotiate how many questions the president will answer. Mr. Giuliani, zero. Identify the crime.
Right.
Identify the crime. There is no obstruction. It doesn't meet the legal definition. So, again, identify the crime. But this is it doesn't go. It's not going to go that far. So here's the other side of that. So if it gets to that report, right? If we get to if we just keep riding this train all the way to the Mueller report, whenever it comes out. This fall, next spring, whatever it is, it's going to be Mueller's report that basically is the cloud that hangs over the head of the president.
Right.
Because it's going to be whatever Mueller wants to put in that report. And then the Giuliani says, well, and then I'll have my report. That won't matter.
Right.
That's not going to get much.
As I've said, don't filter it through anybody.
Don't.
Let's find out what the FBI had on him.
Let the people write their own report.
Right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. The breaking news yesterday from Hollywood, we failed to mention it. We should have started the show out with it, but a reboot of the 1980s sitcom ALF is now in the works at Warner Brothers.
Why?
ALF, by the way, for anybody under the age of 45?
Yeah.
ALF was alien life form. Basically a large puppet.
Yeah.
Who lands in the home of a middle-class family.
Uh-huh.
It would reportedly focus on ALF returning to Earth with a new family and characters. The original writers, two of the original writers, are attached to it. Now, okay. We don't know if it would be the first voice or the second voice of ALF. I only approved of the second voice of ALF that was the higher voice and not the gravelly voice that you saw the first season of ALF.
Mm-hmm.
Being an ALF connoisseur.
Aficionado. Yeah.
Yes. From what we know, we don't know whether Alf would be a Trump supporter or not.
If they find out that he is, they have planned to cancel the show immediately.
I don't know how
Alf, don't tweet at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know how you can do Alf if you don't have the same characters at that time period.
Well,
because I can't think of the father's name, but the father, he was just, I mean, they was,
yeah.
It was the, because they did an Alf movie later on that really was bad. Because it didn't really have the same characters. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when he was captured.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work. I think the jury's still out on that. For Video Road Log, here is your forecast.
That same pattern we've been locked into now for over a week continues today. You can bet whenever you have opposite conditions on bookends of the country that the upper level winds have something to do with it. And that's what's in place. The jet stream, high ridge in the west. That's pushing heat and humidity into the region without a lot of moisture. In the center of the country, the jet stream begins to dip way south. And as a result, at the surface, we have a lot of moisture streaming up again today through the Gulf states, the deep south into the Carolinas, up into the mid-Atlantic and northeast. Today, those showers push a little further eastward than yesterday, with I-95 taking the brunt of the rainfall today. Primarily dry for the nation's midsection, we will see pop-up showers from southern and central Texas up into western Oklahoma and western Kansas today. And unfortunately, no rain to help in those California wildfires. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. So, if they did do a reboot of Alf, would Alf have to be woke? Because remember, Alf was not politically correct.
So we're going to continue with the Alf thing?
Well, no, actually, it wasn't the Alf thing. I wanted to attach woke to something else. It was actually a woke comment. I don't know why, but I'm just on the word today. Because
here's my question:
is Jerry Seinfeld woke?
Is it still going to be the 80s?
Well, you think about it. I mean, Alf was on the same time that The Equalizer was on. The Equalizer, you know, in movie form.
Well, remember that Mork and Mindy. Mork from Ork.
Well, that was
it was originally, because where did it first appear? Where did the character first
appear? Okay, Happy Days.
Which was?
Opie.
Well, the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it does go back to Opie, doesn't it? It's three degrees of separation.
I thought it was Opie. Six, but that was, okay, three
no,
degrees.
No, for Opie, it's only three.
Okay.
So then he comes back and it's the 70s. Or 80s or whatever it was. You know, he came back to Earth later. Now, are they going to come back? Is Alf coming back in 2018? Or is Alf coming back and it's still 1985?
Well, you know, the 80s thing is really big right now. I've got a Facebook friend of mine, a guy who's a guitarist who is, and he was, his band was really huge in Canada and in Europe in the 80s, but now, he still is in that band, but now he's playing guitar for the Flock of Seagulls. And he posted a video the other day. It was a massive crowd.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago and Detroit. I'm like, wow, it's Flock of Seagulls. And it's like huge. And they were playing, I can't remember the name. It wasn't Iran. It was the other one. Iran. It was the other one. I can't think of the name of it. Something Love Song or whatever. But I went, oh, okay, I know that tune. But. So the 80s is, and it's like an 80s tour going around, and they're pulling in huge audiences. So,
yeah,
I guess that's people in their what? 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
If you're in your 20s or 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not do it now? Because it's coming back, and those people now have moved up to the point where they have cash.
Yeah, they have money. And they spend that on listening to really bad music.
But it's all the 80s groups.
Trust me, I know.
It's like all the 80s groups were in it. And, you know, like, was it Naked Eyes? Like, didn't they only have one hit?
Yeah.
So I wonder, they have like 10 bands, but they all play in the same show. So are we back to the point of like the 50s groups where and the 60s groups?
Out, do a 30-minute set, you're
done. Yes, 30-minute set, or you play three or four mm-hmm. songs and then you're gone. Is that what they're doing? Are we back to doing that now?
A buddy of mine is on the road with a couple of different acts right now. One of them is James Taylor, which is, you know, totally different. You know, that's a pretty big production, actually. But he's been out with pretty much everybody over the years. And he said one of the things with festivals is that the artists actually want more time. You know, they want a longer set. But, you know, if you're going to get like 10 of them in order to draw for tickets, right? I mean, if you're going to get a draw on ticket sales, then you're going to have to get a number of, you know, these bands who were just kind of part of the whole, 80s iconic landscape. They defined the, you know, the music era, right? Like, well, Flock of Seagulls with, you know, his hair.
Which he doesn't have anymore.
He doesn't have that anymore. It's a comb over, but it's not that kind of comb over.
And my Facebook friend replaced remember the guitarist with the big glasses?
He's replaced
him, even though that guy with the big glasses is still in the band. He doesn't tour with them.
Oh.
But are they doing new music?
Because I'm guessing that's why they want the longer set, right? Hey, we want to play our new stuff. But here's the thing.
Nobody wants to hear the new
nobody
stuff.
Nobody wants to hear your new stuff. Yeah. Because that part where the singer decides they're going to take a break and says, sing with me, and they hold the mic over the crowd. Dude, I just paid $100 to see you sing.
Yes.
I'm not singing.
I've always thought the same thing.
Yeah, like, but you know, you can't do that with your new stuff. You know, so, no. Play the hits. You got to play the oldies. Come on. That's what it's all about.
Flock of Seagulls. Well, we've taken a jazz direction.
Right. Exactly.
13-minute jazz pieces.
There was a British heavy rock band that did that. And the lead singer kind of went out and did some other things. And it was, you know, it wasn't the heavy rock stuff. And I was thinking, well, certainly you're not playing his stuff on the tour, right? You show up, you want to see a heavy rock band, and all right, now let's play some stuff from my solo album. No, can't do that. Come on. But I think there are a few bands that can go out there and, you know, they've got decades of songs, right?
Yeah.
Billy Joel, Elton John, the Rolling Stones, of course, you know, they've Bon Jovi, actually, you know, from the 80s all the way.
Well,
you know,
before his voice went, Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the DVD that they did probably about 15 years ago. And every song you went, wow, every song's a hit.
Yeah, right.
The entire show, every song you went, oh. And the audience is going crazy. It's like every single
song. Those are the artists
song.
That can get away with playing the full set.
Yeah.
In fact, how could you go to Billy Joel and it not be, you know, at least a 2-hour event? I mean, you got to go through all of
it. Yeah, you're right. You do.
See, there's the other side of it. You're a one-hit wonder and you come in. And, of course, that's going to be your last song. Right? You ever get on YouTube and you see one of the old bands, it's a one-hit wonder, and you just kind of fast forward down. It's a full concert video. You just fast forward to the last 3 minutes because you know that's where the one hit is. That's what I do. But if you're Billy Joel, can you get them all in?
When I used to work for Harvey Weinstein's club, in Amherst, New York, mm-hmm. back 79-80,
mm-hmm.
the Vapors came in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a live club. I spun right. tunes during the Vapors came in. They only had one hit.
Turning Japanese.
That was it. Mm-hmm. And so they come in. So they play a couple of songs. There's no reaction. Nobody right. knows.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
It's like the fourth or fifth song in. They play Turning Japanese. The crowd goes crazy.
Right.
They go into the other song. People are leaving.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. We have to get to bed early. We got an early morning, so fun, guys.
And they played like 10 more songs. Place was like empty by the time they were done.
Exactly.
You only have one hit.
Well, but see, with someone like a Billy Joel or an Elton John, you know, it's like you're waiting, right? I mean, you want to hear one right, yeah. every. Okay, man, I got to hear.
Yeah, there are artists where when they can't fit that song in that's your favorite song. You go. I went to an Elton John concert. He played 30 of his great hits and didn't play my song.
Well, for me, it would be for Elton John. It would be Someone Saved My Life Tonight.
Yeah. Okay. I love
All that. Right. It was just that. Yeah.
For me,
can see where that might not be in his set today. It could be.
Oh, I believe it is.
Is it? I mean, I mean, you know, you're okay. Look, we got 2.5 hours. We can't do every one because, and you're going to have a handful of people leaving there going, oh man, I didn't get to hear my song.
Mine would be one and one only. I have to hear, and that would be Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah,
Davy Johnson's guitar in that, the way it comes,
right,
ripping off in Love Lies Bleeding to start that off is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I just love, but they play that, I believe, every show. I think every show they play that. I know every concert that I've ever seen him on, you know, DVD and how many are there, every time that song's mm-hmm. there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so is, I mean, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, that's got to be on. I actually finally downloaded.
On the set list, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I finally, it was funny because I've got tons of Elton John on my, you know, MP3s.
Right.
And I'm finally like, I don't have that. I can't believe it. And so I downloaded that because. That I told you.
That was the second album I ever, Captain Fantastic and the Rounder Cowboy.
Yep.
Second album I ever bought with my own money.
See, I love Meal Ticket on that song.
Yeah.
On that album.
Yeah.
That's a great good. That's when Elton John used to actually rock before he got into the 80s and said, okay, I'm going to become much more pop and long ballads. It's like, it's okay, but he used to rock.
Yeah. The album cover was really weird, too.
Oh, that was, yes. Yeah, I was in college when that came out. I remember the anticipation. That thing sold like crazy.
Yeah.
Because that was the follow-up.
I was a kid and I had to have it.
That was the follow-up to Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe, right. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then after that, I believe it was Blue Moves that came out and that didn't sell well.
Mm.
And that was actually more jazz. And I liked that album.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more jazzy and it was like, no. This is an Elton John. I'm like, well, how do you can't peg Elton John into a certain classification of music.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. It's Elton John.
Yeah, that's why I love Yellow Brick Road, because there's every form of music known to mankind on that album, mm-hmm. from Jamaican stuff to pop to rock to, you know, Benny and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's interesting watching the ever-changing mood of a live audience, live music audience, right? You know, what draws them to a show? You know, you got to spend your money. You spent a lot of money now on your whole in-home entertainment setup. And you can fast forward to the one-hit song if you want. And you don't have to go out. We talked about this with when they were doing the Crossroads festivals every 3 years with Clapton, you know, and I thought, and I watched it online, but it's not the full festival. It's not the full thing. You know, it's edited down. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I could hang for an entire festival like that. As great as the artists are, I just think physically I'd go, I got to go take a break.
Yeah, I've got the DVD from the first one they did in Dallas.
Yeah.
Was that the first one, like in 2004?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it was.
The one at the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah.
And then they had stages set up
Robert
around
Cray,
the...
Robert Cray, right?
Was Robert Cray? Robert Cray was in it, yeah.
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 But, it, you know, I just don't know that and so I wonder with the next generation. I mean, is live music still – I know it's still a thing, but what draws them
– That's the one with the guy the guitarist had played with David Lee Roth.
Steve I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Billy Sheehan playing, and they just – I mean, they just – there's only one song in the DVD. It's mm-hmm. called, like, something like Get Out of Hell or something is the mm-hmm. song.
Right.
It just cooks.
Yeah.
I mean, it – he's a great guitarist.
Right. Oh, Steve Vai?
Yes. I mean, just like, what? And he was just smiling the whole time as if it's the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, man.
Yeah. They do yeah, it? He's still out there doing it.
I know. But, yeah, so now as Steve Vai woke. Okay.
That I don't know.
I got to get off that word, don't I?
Probably so.
Today. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Well, the rhetoric was big yesterday on Wednesday. We had talked about it on yesterday's show about Tuesday, but Wednesday was also big that the administration's still threatening 25% tariffs on that second round of $200 billion in tariffs on China to go from 10 to 25%. Now, this wouldn't happen till the end of September because they have to go through the entire process again. So I guess the whole point is, you know, we were told that, you know, that the goal with Europe is absolute free trade.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see whether that's whether that actually comes to fruition or not, which is you know, because that hasn't been what the president and Peter Navarro and others in his administration have been promoting. It's what Larry Kudlow would like to promote, and we hope that side is winning. But you have. In this administration, it's very unique. You have economic advisors that disagree with each other. They're 180 degrees away from each other. And so that's always going to create a problem, and it has created a problem. We know that last week a lot of people were stating, a lot of Trump supporters, well, the president's doing exactly what he said he was going to do, and this was always his goal. No, it wasn't. Free trade, no duties, no subsidies, no tariffs. Is not what the president has been promoting over the last 30, 35 years. And so we hope he stays on that direction. We hope to be optimistic on it, but we haven't seen yet, since they've been talking about it, any movement in Europe. And it looks like we're going to have more tariffs on China, which then you say to yourself, what's the third and fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year going to look like if all of these tariffs actually are implemented?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.